the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to be at. So Hebrews chapter 11, and we've been going through the first few verses here, been working our way through the book of Hebrews 11, or the chapter 11 of Hebrews. And the first few that are here with, of course, the very beginning, the world's being framed by God, we looked at that. We looked at the sacrifice of Abel versus the sacrifice of Cain. Tonight we'll be in verse number 5 and 6, and I will tell you, this has been somewhat challenging, getting these messages prepared, in that in these first few, of course, Abel, not mentioned too many times in Scripture. And then we came to, now we're coming to Enoch, and we have a same situation there, just a handful of verses that deal with his life. But I want to say with both of these men, what a testimony that they are leaving for us, or that has been left for us by them. Even though we don't know much about their entire life, what we do know was pretty spectacular as far as how they served God by faith. And so let's begin reading tonight in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. The Bible says this, says, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now I want you to go back to Genesis chapter number 5. That's where the 5 was coming from. So Genesis chapter number 5, and I want you to see the first account that we have of this man by the name of Enoch. The Bible says in verse number 18, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." We're going to talk about the faith of Enoch. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this night. I thank you for the opportunity that we have once again to be in your house. And God, as you have given to us opportunity after opportunity and after opportunity, Father, we make the most of those. May we serve you with our lives. May we work for you. May we place our faith in you, all that we might be pleasing unto you. Help us in this. For it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. All right. Well, here we have two passages of Scripture, one in Hebrews and one in the book of Genesis. Now, Hebrews, of course, gives us a little bit more information than we would have had we not had or have the book of Hebrews. And so I want to kind of take both accounts here and make some comments as we look at the faith of Enoch. Now, the faith that we have from Enoch, of course, we find from the book of Hebrews, though, because the Bible says that it was by faith that God translated
Enoch. Now, this word translated is not going from one language to another. That is what how we use that term today. But to be translated literally means to be conveyed from one place to another. Now, it can also mean that it can be translated from one language into another language, but for this particular usage of the word, it means to be conveyed from one place to another. And so we find that the place, of course, Enoch was in was earth. And he had a relationship with God. He has in great and close fellowship with God. So much so that the Bible says that Enoch walked with God in verse number 24 in Genesis, and he was not, for God took him. Can you imagine that? Now, the Bible gives us some other information about Enoch here. It said he was 65 years old when he begat Methuselah. And then, in verse number 22, it says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, I know that this is very difficult for us to take in as far as the age of these men and women in the Old Testament. And we take in the fact that he was 65 years old when he had his first child, Methuselah. Some of you, I mean, 65 now, I mean, that's retirement age. That's when you start drawing Social Security and you're thinking about, you know, the fourth quarter of your life, not having a child. I mean, I'm 38 and I'm thinking about not having any more children. And we've thought about that 8 years ago. And so we completed it up with justice, and we said he's the one. We finally got it right. You didn't know that, did you? How did we know that you got it right, or that we got it right? Oh, because we said this one's going to be just like me. And we figured that was enough. There can only be two of us, man. I promise you that. Only two of us, and that's more than enough. I can promise you that. No, but 65 years old, he's having Methuselah. But the Bible says after that he walked with God for 300 years. For 300 years. I like what one old preacher said. He said Enoch was walking with God one day, God looked down and said, "Hey, Enoch, you're closer to my house than yours. Just come with me." I don't know if that's exactly what happened, and honestly, I can't even begin to even try to describe to you the event that took place that day. But we do know, because the Bible tells us, that Enoch was, and then he was not, because God took him after walking with them for 300 years. Now, as we go back to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews gives us a little bit more insight to what was happening that day when Enoch was translated to heaven. The Bible says in verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Notice this, that he should not see death. You see, it wasn't that God just took him. A lot of times we will say concerning death of a loved one or something like that, that God took them. And I've had questions along those natures from folks that have lost loved ones, and usually in a little bit more of a tragic situation. But they will ask the question, they will say, why did God take them? Why did God take them? Now, we know that life and death are both a part of life. The Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. So we know this. Death is a part of life, and it's not necessarily the case that God is taking anyone, except that life is coming to an end. But in this particular case with Enoch, God most certainly took him. He just took him. That he should not see death. Notice, as it continues there, it says, and was not found. You're not going to go and find a body or a grave of Enoch and say, oh, well, there he is. No, he was not, for God took him. And he was not found because God had translated him again, took him from one place to another place. For God had translated him. Notice this, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. This is Enoch. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Now, in looking through the Bible and seeing all of these things, what most interested me here in Hebrews chapter 11 was the fact that Enoch had a testimony. And you know, each one of us have a testimony. Some have a good testimony. Some have a bad testimony. Some have an in-between testimony. But the testimony is what others would think about us, how others would view us. It's an affirmation of who we are. And Enoch definitely had a testimony, and it was this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? And again, going back and forth between Genesis chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible tells us he pleased God, and I think Genesis chapter 5 explains to us how he pleased God. What was it that he did that pleased God? Now, we know in verse number 6 tells us how we can please God. Notice what it says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So how did Enoch please God? We know it was by faith, in the fact that Enoch believed God. Now, here is the interesting part, I think, about the rest of these people that we study throughout Scripture, in that we're able to see, like Noah, we know what Noah and how Noah believed God. We're going to look at Noah next Sunday night, okay? So somebody just tell me, before we get into Noah, what did God tell Noah that Noah believed? It's going to rain, and you need to do what? Build an ark. It's going to rain. Had it ever rained before? No. But Noah believed God, and for 120 years, worked on and built an ark. And he believed what God said. Abraham believed God. We know how Abraham believed God. What did God tell Abraham? All right, sacrifice his son. Before that, though, to leave his homeland and to do what? Go to a place that I will show you. Well, where are we going, Brother Don? Well, that doesn't seem fair. Life's not fair. You guys are so mean. But Abraham believed God. God told Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Really? He said, I'm 90. By this time, in man's life, it was obviously around 90 or a little bit before 90 that people stopped having children. Because it says that Sarah was beyond the childbearing years. And so, I wonder, what was it that Enoch believed God in? You see, he believed about in something. Now, we know that Enoch walked with God. And we know that this was a visible walk, and I think any time our walk with God, and we have a walk with God, it ought to be a visible walk. It ought to be a walk that others can see. Hey, you know what? He walks with God. She walks with God. There's got to be something, some type of evidence, some type of testimony that we can leave and that we can have that people would be able to say, hey, they walk with God. Now, while it was a visible walk, I will tell you that it is not always something that we can visibly see. Now, where I'm from, where I, you know, as far as everything I've been around in my life, preachers wear suits. Right?
Amen.
Go ahead and button this up. I couldn't button this up months ago, but I can now, so I'm going to button it up. Feels good. But preachers wear suits. 3 or 4 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. And I went with a bunch of preachers, and I noticed something as I was there for the first time walking through the Capitol building trying to figure out, you know, the whole thing. Everyone, males, wore suits. Ladies had on dresses. To me, I was walking around saying, man, this is a spiritual place. Then I watched the news. Found out Washington's not necessarily a spiritual place. It's not just about how we look. Because guess what? Anybody can put a suit on. Anybody can, you know, it's interesting too. You can listen to a political speech. And they have something to say. And they may even get excited about it. But it's not the same. It's not just about having a visible walk as much as it is having a vocal walk with God. The first thing in this is, do you communicate with God? Now, it's evident that when we talk about Enoch's walk with God, that during their walks, they obviously had some conversations. Now, I don't know if it was audible conversations. I can't even begin to try to explain how it happened, what happened, and all of that, but I know that Enoch walked with God, and God and Enoch had conversations, and Enoch believed what God told him. But it gets better. Not only did Enoch walk with God and have a physical, verbal conversation with God, but Enoch also relayed the message that God gave him to do that. Now, I asked this morning, as we were closing, I said, how many of you knew that Enoch was a prophet? Now, we don't typically put Enoch in the group of prophets. I mean, he was definitely not Isaiah. I mean, there we don't have, you know, the book of Enoch that we can go to, and, you know, Enoch chapter 3, and turn there. We don't necessarily have that. He was not Jeremiah. But can I tell you, Enoch had a message. He had the message because he walked with God. He walked with him visibly. He walked with him vocally. I want you to turn over to the book of Jude. It's just one book. It's just one chapter. About 25 verses in this book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. There's a lot in the book of Jude. God chose to record one of Enoch's messages, Jude. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God gave these words to Jude in verse number 14. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Now, one second right here. It's important that, let's see, Brother Harold Smith, you got a good name, Smith. You ever met another Harold Smith? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, not as good as you are, I understand. I understand. But it is possible to come across another Aaron Smith. You ever met another Randall Shearer? No? Another Brian Kozer? Another Scott Hopkins? Another BJ? Yeah, maybe. It can happen. Well, if you just do a search through Scripture and you search the word Enoch, you'll find that Cain had a son named Enoch. They're not the same Enoch. Okay? So very important, because if you read that, if you just go through and you do a search, you'll say, oh, well, Cain had Enoch, and that's only three from Adam, right? Because you have Adam, then Cain, and then Enoch. That's three. Adam's one, two, three. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 5, you don't have to go there right now. I'm just trying to show this. If you start with Adam at 1, you count down to Jared, you'll get to 6. When you get to Enoch, you'll be the 7th from Adam. That's the one, the same one that we're talking about, the same one that was translated. He had a message that he prophesied. Now this, I'm just telling you, this message, I mean, you talk about a prophet. Prophet is a foreteller. He's foretelling what God is going to do. Check this out. It says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. We have 2.5 verses of a message from Enoch. Now in verse number 17, we can tell as the transition, as Jude says, but, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know Enoch didn't say that. He didn't know the apostles, and he did not have the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that Jude is transitioning there outside of Enoch's message. But do you see the prophecy here? Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Can I just fill you in on something? I'm fairly certain this hasn't happened yet. That's kind of what makes it prophecy. But now check this out. This is something that God shared with Enoch before the flood ever happened. So before the flood happened, God's having a conversation with Enoch. They were so close to one another because Enoch walked with God that God gave this message to Enoch. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. For what? What's the purpose? Well, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Thanks, Enoch. He had a vocal walk with God. You see, God gave him a message. And by faith, Enoch delivered it. See, Enoch didn't see these things. This wasn't happening before his eyes. This was way before. And he said, the Lord's coming with ten thousands of his saints to be rejoicing in all of this why to execute judgment. You can read the rest of it in the book of Revelation as God revealed it to John. But here's the faith of Enoch. He walked with God, and God took him. He walked with him for 300 years. The walk has to do with the fellowship and obedience that results in divine favor. That's the walk that was being described of Enoch's life. I've always kind of separated these verses in the book of Hebrews. I can't tell you why. Just think I heard somebody else do it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's verse number one. It always appeared to me that verse number six seemed to be out of place. In that really verse six could have followed verse number one. And it could have, and it does follow. But there are some verses in between here. And as the Bible talks about in verse number 5, that Enoch pleased God, God chose to remind us in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is? That He is what? That He is God. Very simple. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, how diligent Enoch must have been in seeking God. You say, could it happen again? I don't know. We know that there was another prophet by the name of Elijah that God chose to translate him into heaven through a whirlwind. Another one. And we could go on into the book of Revelation and talk about the two witnesses of who they are. Most, I would say, tend to believe that it was Enoch and Elijah who it's going to be, because there are two men that have never seen death. I would probably tend to lean towards that. Some others have said Moses and Elijah, because it was Moses and Elijah that were there on the top of the mountain when Jesus was transfigured into His glorious body, and the disciples were there, and Peter said, we need to build a tabernacle, one for Jesus and one for Moses and one for Elijah. I don't know. But I know this, that Enoch's life pleased God. I do know that because the Bible tells us that. And I do know that the Bible said that he should not see death, for God took him. And he was not, for God took him. And he was not found. But the testimony that he left was a visible one, that people knew that he walked with God. It was a vocal one, because he had a message from God. And as he walked with God, he pleased God. Now here is the summary of all of this, the application, if you will. There comes a point in our life and in our Christian life when faith will cease to be faith. So, what do you mean by that? Well, if faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, and that is faith, then one day our faith will become a reality. That substance that we're hoping for, we will hold. We will visibly see. We will take hold of. And then it is no longer that of faith, but of fact. And I don't know, I have my own supposition here that with Enoch, that I think he had so much faith that he just got it. He just got it. And God shared so much with him. Now again, what all God shared with Enoch, I have no idea. I have no idea. I wouldn't even begin to suppose on that. And I wish I could tell you why God kept all those things from us. Again, I have no idea. Wouldn't even try to figure it out. But one day, we may know. God may choose to tell us when we get to heaven. He may, I don't know. But I know this, Enoch walked with God. And we too, if we're going to apply this to our lives, we must have a visible walk and we must have a vocal walk. If we're going to even come close to thinking that we're going to please God. Because we won't do it without faith. And here's the thing. You won't walk with God without faith. It's impossible. Who's seen God? I certainly haven't. You certainly haven't. So walking with God is a faith walk. And we must please Him. And the greatest part to me is that in our pleasing of God, in our seeking of God, He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I'm looking forward to the reward. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I come to You tonight. God, there's much that You could have told us about Enoch. There's no doubt in our minds he was a godly man, for he pleased You. And Father, I ask tonight that may it be said of us that we would be a people that would learn to walk with You by faith. May it be one that's visible, and may it be one that's vocal. May it be real. May it be genuine. May we be genuine Christians. Help us in this. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As you stand to your feet tonight, the piano is playing, Living for Jesus. A life that is true. As we sing, You come.